Hello, everybody. Can you, those in the back of the room, if you can hear me, will you? Oh, good. We're good? Good, good. Well, welcome to the Quality by Design presentation. Wanted to start right at 11:30 because we have a lot to say and not enough time to say it in with all of our speakers. My name is Deb Adair, and I'm the Director of Quality Matters. On the panel, we have Melody Buckner, who is from University of Arizona, Lorraine Schmidt, who is from Chemeketa Community College, Cable Green from the Washington State Board, and Cheryl Hansen from the High Board of Regents. Our goals for today are for me to step out of the way and let our presenters tell you how they're using QM. Can you tell me, though, how many in the room have heard of Quality Matters? Good. Woo. How many in the room... institutions use Quality Matters? We'll have to fix that. All right. So just a few words. Quality Matters is a national benchmark for the design of online courses. We have a rubric of 40 reviews of standards for online course design. We have a peer review process, which is faculty to faculty for reviewing and improving courses. We are a faculty support tool that's used by the development and design staff, and we have professional development opportunities, a myriad of trainings. And essentially, we have a continual improvement process, and that really is what Quality Matters is all about. So in a review, whether it's formal or informal, it's about continuous improvement in the design of online courses. And this map will show you the distribution of Quality Matters subscribers. The red states are where we have current subscribers. The blue states are where we have large consortiums of schools that subscribe. And the yellow states are where we have entire statewide systems, and we're also in five different countries, including, I have to say, Saudi Arabia. We're still trying to figure out how that happened. And a little bit of, to give you a sense of why we say we've become a national standard, we have 461 higher ed institutions that subscribe in 44 states, which you saw on the map. We have reviewed in a formal way more than 800 courses through our rigorous process. Either subscribers have managed that or we have, and trained around 7,000, at this point, the state is just a little bit old, around 7,000 individuals in training. And so we have a peer reviewer cadre, and peer reviewers are faculty who teach online and who have gone through our training to be certified. We've got almost 3,000 reviewers across the country that are in our national database. So there's a lot of faculty participating in Quality Matters. And I think the key thing to leave you with before I open it to the speakers is that the 40 standards are the design standards, but the way our institutions use and apply Quality Matters is really, it's ultimately customizable. So the way that you would use it depends very much on the culture and the politics and just your needs at your institution. Melody.
Okay, I'm on. Do you guys, is this mic okay? Turn it up or you're okay? You're good. Is it good? Okay. I'm Melody Buckner. I'm an instructional designer at the University of Arizona. I'm actually an instructional designer for outreach, so I'm always trying to find faculty who are interested in designing courses that reach out to our non-traditional students, the ones who typically don't come to campus between the 9 and 3 time slot. So, is that my first slide? Okay, great. So I first heard about Quality Matters here at EDUCAUSE back in 2008, and I wasn't even working for the University of Arizona yet. I was working for another institution. But when I went to the University of Arizona, I saw a really great need for this type of a program because I didn't see any standards for online classes at the time. So because of my exposure here by Janet Buckenmeyer, I wanted to give her some credit. She's from Purdue University, and she gave a presentation on peer mentoring for quality of distance education. It was a great presentation. It really turned me on to quality matters. So I took this to U of A, and I proposed it to our vice provost, and he was really excited about it, and he said, great, go ahead, and let's join. So we joined in 2009, in the spring of 2009. And the first thing I wanted to do was expose the faculty to this. So my thing is, if you feed them, they will come. And so we had an event, and we had sandwiches, and we invited faculty that were teaching through the Outreach College. And we had about, I would say, 30, 40 faculty that came, and other staff people that came and really got excited about the presentation. Ron
Ligon
actually was a webinar, and we had him tell the faculty about Quality Matters. And it was really good because we're a number one research institution, and when he mentioned that it was research-based, it was like putting the bait on the hook. You know, the faculty were like, great, research-based. They all kind of bit for it, and it started to a conversation on campus among the faculty. So what happened next? We wanted to start basically at a grassroots level. Instead of having the administration come and say, you have to do this, we wanted to start spreading the excitement with the faculty and having it come up that way. So we found faculty that were interested in the Quality Matters rubric, and we started applying it to their online courses. And what I found, just beginning this, is the 40 standards were a bit overwhelming for faculty that were just starting to develop online classes or that were teaching online classes but that weren't that familiar with it. So when I would throw this rubric out to them, they were like, yikes. So what I decided to do is I decided to kind of pare down the rubric so it was on two pages. And I took the 18 most essential standards, and I described the standards, and I gave them an idea how they could implement it into their online course. And they love this. They love this little two-page document because it's something they can digest, they can take away with them, and they can think about. It's not an overwhelming type of rubric for them to start with. So they started talking about it, and not only the outreach faculty, but now the main campus faculty were starting to hear about Quality Matters and wanting to know more about it. So we have a group on campus called the Office of Instruction and Assessment, where all of our instructional designers live, and they decided to do a group, a grassroots group called Learning and Teaching with Technology, which is LATTE. In that group, I formed a SIG group called Quality Matters, and all of the faculty that are interested in learning more about Quality Matters join my SIG group. So my SIG group is getting bigger and bigger every time we meet, which is getting a little overwhelming for me. I may have to start splintering my SIG group off because I'm starting to get more voices than I can really deal with in a SIG group. So SIG is Special Interest Group. Sorry about that. I need to define my acronym, SIG group. Okay. So what we're doing with the LATTE, with the special interest group, some of the faculty wanted to add a standard for the delivery of online content, something I really didn't want to get into, but that's what they're wanting to do. Again, it's a special interest group. I'm kind of letting the faculty take the lead and decide what they want to do. Add a standard for measuring student learning outcomes. We were also thinking about doing a student survey. Not sure if we're going to do that right now. I don't know if you want to talk about Penny's survey from Penn State. She did a really big survey about students and how they see quality courses. We were kind of thinking about springboarding off of her survey. And then developing a faculty peer mentoring process. We haven't done that yet, but it's something in the future. And then the last thing is something that I'm working on, which is a web page, so that they'll have access to the full rubric. So once they get through the smaller one, they can go ahead and hit the big one. And then the last thing that we're doing in Arizona is we are starting a statewide consortium. All of the colleges up there have joined. And basically what we're going to do is, on the last slide, is we're getting together statewide for collaboration, to share ideas, to strategize how we might use Quality Matters statewide, to support each other and to network, and to share the Quality Matters training, and then to spread the Quality Matters to other institutions in the states. And right now we're meeting three times a semester.
Okay, and actually I should have mentioned this. What I think we're going to do is have each of the presenters come up and then take questions at the end. I think it might move more smoothly that way. So Lorraine Schmidt, she's the Dean of Distance Education and Academic Technology at Chemeketa.
Hi, can you guys hear me okay? Okay, great. I'm here to talk about a couple of things, what we're doing in Oregon at the community colleges, as well as what my institution is doing. So, like Melody, we used food as well when we started QM. And so in 2006, we invited QM to come out and do an actual all-day orientation. And we invited online faculty members and instructional designers and trainers and distance ed staff from all across the state to meet together for this orientation. It was a really good, I think it was like a six-hour session. At the end of that, we asked everybody to, we mixed them up in groups across institutions and asked them to do a SWOT analysis of what they thought about QM. And then after that, we had them get in groups with people from their own institution and use that information to create one to take back to their own school. So it was really just a low stakes, come and see what you think, and you know, there was no pressure or anything like that. Since then, we have a statewide subscription. My community college is from Oregon, so most people don't know where that Chemeketa is. It's about 30 miles south of Portland. Anyway, so we have all 17 schools subscribing now, and that's funded out of our statewide community college office. We are not a system, but we're 17 very independent colleges there. After that, we started doing joint training, a variety of...
I'll close the door here.
Not me. So a variety of different kinds of training, from just orientations and exposing people to it, to the more formal certification trainings. There's a wide variety of options from Quality Matters. And we're really, although we're all subscribers, we're really using it very differently at each institution. So I wanted to share a little bit about how that's working. We have some schools who are using it very informally as a guide for new faculty. I think to some degree it could even be handing them the rubric, telling them a little bit about it, and then they kind of use that as they develop a new course. Some of our schools are pretty small and don't really have a lot of staff, so they don't have a lot of existing resources of their own. Other folks are going a little bit further than that, making people more familiar with it, but actually doing some informal reviews just within their own institution without the certification. And then we have one school who's actually very interested in it but doesn't have a lot of resources, is certifying reviewers, but rather than doing a full team review, which includes three reviewers and the course developer, they're having a certified reviewer review as an individual person with the instructor. So that's another model. And then we have another school, which is very large, which is actually certifying mentors, and then they're working with faculty all across their entire, it's a multi-campus district up in Portland. And then we're doing, and a couple others I think as well, subscriber-managed reviews. So for us, it's all voluntary, but we're doing the subscriber-managed reviews, which is everything's aligned with the QM model. It is the QM model, but that means that your own institution or organization does the coordination and management work. And then we have other schools who will do occasional formal reviews where QM is really the organization that's structuring the review and the whole process. So the goals that we have for this year as a state are actually to build our peer reviewer pool as well as a master reviewer chairs a team. And so we're trying to build up that pool and then also get some more certified trainers in the state. So before it was more casual. Now we actually are really kind of asking folks to become reviewers and to serve, you know, our schools as well as other schools outside. At my own institution, we have incorporated and integrated Quality Matters into a bigger e-learning effort. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to try to go. A little bit about how we're structured. My area, distance ed and academic technology, reports to the academic side of the house there. And we're a little bit unusual in that our academic departments fund sections for online courses, but my department also enhances that. So that creates a really interesting situation. We are fully self-supporting, and so we don't get any revenue from the institution. And then you can see the information there on some statistics. But we also have challenges with consistency across all of our online courses, and as well, communication among the faculty, the full-time and adjunct faculty, around just outcomes in their discipline, alignment with the outcomes, just a dialogue about teaching strategies, you know, and practices in their discipline. So we came up with an EQ initiative, which is e-learning quality is what that stands for, And it was really designed to hold up what people are doing really well and also to address improvements we need to make. We're not very good about combining those two. Sometimes we focus too much on one or only on the other, and so this effort was it was intentional to do both. We have three strategies as part of that project, which I'll tell you about in a minute. It was also became an academic priority for the entire instructional side of the house. So there was support from faculty members, department chairs, deans, as well as the vice president and the president. And then we had broad involvement from a multitude of departments and cross-functional work teams that had deans and online faculty as well as distance education staff on it. And then my area managed the project. So the three different strategies that we used there, we had one which was really to strengthen the relationships between the full and part-time faculty, as well as hopefully the outcome of greater alignment across all of our courses and meeting the outcomes. We had two efforts within that. One was really to give people funding opportunities to try some new ideas, whether those were in-service events or training or virtual meetings, that sort of thing. To help them be more in touch with each other. And then we had core course templates, which was funding for them, if they chose to develop what you might think of as master courses that are also aligned with QM. The second strategy that we had was related to creating this common framework of understanding about online course design, and this is probably one of the bigger elements of our effort was we required all online faculty members to go through the Improving Your Online Course training, and we don't require all of our faculty to do anything. So that was huge, and it's made a big difference. One of the outcomes was them analyzing their own course. The third one was really around creating that dialogue and having the professional development opportunities to do peer reviews. And so we've engaged in subscriber-managed peer reviews. I think I'm out of time, so maybe just go to the next slide, and I think I'll skip the last one. So to date, we've done 14 subscriber-managed peer reviews. We did those over the summer. We did have requests for those content coordination and the master courses, which we've had great response from that. And we did train over 170 online faculty in the Improving Your Online Course, which has made a huge difference. So that's basically how we incorporated QM into our big project.
Okay, next up is Cable Green. Cable's the Director of E-Learning and Open Education for the Washington State Board for Community and Technical Colleges.
Hi, everybody. How you doing today? So here's what our state looks like. We've got 34 community and technical colleges spread all over the place. As you can see, a big chunk of them are right along the I-5 corridor, because that's where most of the state's population is. We've got roughly 560,000 students in the system, and so this is the environment within which we work. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. The foundation for us is a little bit unorthodox, different from what others have said. We started QM out of our strategic technology plan. So our technology plan in our system that covers all 34 colleges says two things, really, if you boil it down. One is we're not going to do enterprise technologies 34 different ways, because that's wasteful, both with money and in terms of people's time and effort, and it doesn't serve students well or faculty. And so we're consolidating in every enterprise application space around technology. The second thing it says, and that's the last half of my title, open education, it says, gee, since we're on some common systems, we have opportunities to share all this digital stuff that we're creating within our system. And by the way, there's this whole global movement called open educational resources, and our system will both take from the rest of the world and share back what we're creating with the rest of the world. And we're doing that now. In that tech plan, though, we said, as far as in both of those areas, sharing technology and sharing content, probably the single most important thing is professional development, ongoing support for faculty, staff, administration, people at all levels to understand how to use the technologies effectively, understand what it is to share content, et cetera. And so strategy three, and this came after is prioritized very highly in the plan, is to, and I'll just read it quickly, create a system of lifelong learning and change management for faculty, staff, and college leadership. And then there are a bunch of actions under that about professional development focused on faculty and staff. But Action 4 is all about course redesign. And we had already had a pilot running with Quality Matters, but this was our way as a system of saying this is really important. And like Arizona, the research-based base of Quality Matters was a real hook for our faculty. The other thing was absolutely critical for our faculty was the non-threatening nature of Quality Matters. I would love to be a Quality Matters master reviewer, and in a heartbeat, I would devote my time to take the training, but I'm not allowed. Why not? Because I'm not faculty today teaching online, and so I'm actually excluded from doing Quality Matters training. And while that's kind of a bummer for me, the faculty kind of dig that. Not that they want to keep me out, but it's about faculty. It's about faculty reviewing other faculty's work. It's about faculty-driven. It's all faculty-based. And that, for faculty, is absolutely critical and shouldn't be understated. So for us, we wove this into our entire system technology plan to say that not only is faculty professional development using these technologies critical and understanding the new pedagogies, but course redesign and Quality Matters is a core component of what we're going to do moving forward. So let's go to the next one. And then my last slide here is just kind of three main areas where we're using Quality Matters. First of all, we're offering, and we've partnered with Deb and her crew to offer Quality Matters training and professional development opportunities to all the faculty in our system who want to do it. Now, we're starting small. We said to all 34 colleges, just to get us off and running, please find one faculty member at your campus who is willing to go through the intensive master reviewer training. And please find one person who's willing to go through the independent trainer training, just for starters. And then, so we're doing that right now. We're just wrapping up that year. And our message to the colleges was, we will provide from the central office of the state board all the training that you want for Quality Matters. If you want to train five master reviewers next year, we will find funds to do that. Because the more people that are trained up in Quality Matters as master reviewers at your campus, that's a good thing, and we want to support that. And it's in our strategic technology plan. And so that's where we are right now. And my apologies to Deb. We're actually in between contracts right now. But the reason is we're going back to our colleges and we're saying, so you just all had one master reviewer, one trainer. How did it go? Was it valuable? And how many more would you like to do? We're going to go back to Deb with a much larger contract for next year. Next thing we're doing is the Open Course Library. This is the open education piece of what I was talking about. We're in the process now partnering with the Gates Foundation and our state legislature to design and open up with open Creative Commons licensing our entire general education curriculum in our community college system. So if that's useful of any to you, you're more than welcome to take it when we're done. As part of that project, we have no fewer than 12 instructional designers from around the colleges who are Quality Matters master reviewers, and they are part and parcel of the course design process for all of that open courseware that we're creating. And then the last thing I wanted to mention is that our colleges now, I think 28 of the 34, have woven into their e-learning departments and their instructional design folks on their campuses. When faculty come to them and say, I've never engaged in hybrid learning before, or I've never done online learning before, and I'd like to try it out, will you please help me build an online course or a hybrid course or even just a web-enhanced course where I'm starting to use some technologies in my face-to-face course? The first thing that flops out on the table is a two-pager on Quality Matters instructional design. And they say these are some best practices that are nationally vetted and are faculty-driven that we're going to use as a template as we design your course. Thanks.
You done?
Yep.
Okay. Wasn't sure. All right. Finally, to wrap things up, we have Cheryl. Cheryl Hansen is the Director, Academic Quality Assurance and Collaboration for the Ohio Board of Regents. And Cheryl was formerly the head of the Ohio Learning Network.
Well, I love that introduction because I was the head of the Ohio Learning Network. But just under that, in the professional development area of the Ohio Learning Network, that organization existed with the pure purpose of supporting online courses and online degrees from Ohio institutions in the state. Cable Green and I were colleagues at the Ohio Learning Network for some years, And about a year and a half ago, I came to the Board of Regents, primarily, I believe, because we had built a Quality Matters Consortium this year, holding 45 institutions who have voluntarily come forward to use Quality Matters as their quality and online work, and have really embraced it in a huge way. So I'm going to try and tell you how what everyone has said here has fed into what it is we're doing. It makes sense, and we've been doing it. And now at the Regents, we're working with some deep policy projects to try and embed this important and thorough way of looking at online courses and processes for how we disseminate information, how we support those people that are doing this work on the campuses that are volunteering to participate. So let's go to the first slide, because we're now in year three. So I want to start with the now and go back to how we brought this forward. As the other panelists have said, we've had a number of faculty who've been doing Quality Matters, working with them, and using the old FIPSE grant rubric, and they kept coming to the Ohio Learning Network because of our purpose in helping support online courses and saying, we are interested in Quality Matters, can you help us do this? And that was a great place to start. We ended up with six institutions who said they really wanted to get a subscription, work together, and see how it was on their campuses. They were diverse, two were unionized, one was a research institution, other big, one was a private. So starting with those six was a pretty exciting idea. During the year, the private institution dropped out because they were going through a complete Sakai LMS change during the year and thought this was a little too much to do. So we ended up with these five. And during that year, those five all did something different with Quality Matters. And basically, the questions I pose on here were the kinds of things they wrestled with. You know, can this help me? Will this help what I'm doing? And how can I get the kind of support I need on this campus? We looked to the directors of distance learning on those campuses. The teaching and learning centers on those campuses all had them. We looked for IT support and tried to help build a consciousness from the state level about the importance of those folks all working together on the campuses to help support this. At the end of that year, those five institutions presented a session at a conference like this for Ohio and told people in that session what they each had done in that particular pilot year. The interesting thing was those that sat in the audience began to see that the differences in what they did and their certain circumstances, resources, sort of fit their own campus situations and could see really easily how this might work on their campus. So we formalized the idea of Quality Matters into a consortium at that point because we had 42 campuses who came forward from that presentation and said, we want to participate. They didn't know exactly how. They didn't know exactly what it was going to involve, but they saw five that did it and said, well, if they can, we can too. So that began our second year, and we decided as a consortium to form an advisory board. Five people were there. They were the ones from the pilot, and they all decided that they'd be resources to the campuses that might call in, particularly about union issues, about what they might get done, what they might accomplish. And during that year, we decided that the biggest thing we could do was put people through the basic applying the Quality Matters rubric workshops. And what we did is we asked our campuses who were members if they would host one of these on their campus. And we had 21 that agreed to do that. We held 21 workshops, and we said to those first folks, you can keep 15 seats of the 30 allowed as long as you provide the other 15 for anyone else that would like to come. So it began our partnership environment for Quality Matters. And those five institutions and those 21 workshops really put Quality Matters on the map. We put about 760 people through those workshops in a year. Most were faculty. Some were instructional designers. Some brought their administrators to hear what was going on. And I took advantage of that at the Board of Regents and brought my colleagues in academic quality assurance, those people that reviewed academic programs in the state. I wanted to be sure they knew exactly what it was. Those five people came, spent an entire day, and said, wow, we had no idea standards of this quality were available to even use in the state. they began to think about how they might use these standards in their review of the academic programs that come to their desk, new programs, revised programs, that type of thing. And it was a pretty powerful time. So we struggled through the year to provide these workshops and to do what we do because we are, again, other than myself, who is paid to do professional development work, everyone else was volunteering above what it is they did on their campuses to make this work. While a part of campus goals and those types of things, they went ahead and embraced the Quality Matters work. So we ended up year two with these campuses who had really, very substantially participated and had kind of, an emerging distributing leadership kind of a model among those institutions that participated. So when we came around to this next subscription year, we have a statewide subscription, we again had 42 begin, but 6 dropped out, 6 new came in on board, and last week 2 more joined. So now we have 45. So we're again pushing the applying the Quality Matters rubric training because as a state subscriber, we also decided we better start building our trainer cadre, as Cable had talked about, and the importance of that, so we weren't overworking the people that trained. We now have 7 trainers in the state, so they can go out and around to one another. And when they do that, any campus who's a subscriber can send any number of people to that training for free. They're coming and they're free. Now, I'm going to asterisk that because we have an expectation for them a little later down the road. If they've taken the training, they're going to do something to help the consortium. So that's that. We entered this third year then and said, now we have people through training. We'd had in the spring 7 courses reviewed in the Quality Matters Review using 5 of those were state teams with the master reviewer, subject matter expert, and someone from another campus that was on those teams. All 7 met standards. Halfway? It's time. I'm done. So take a look at the rest of the slides. Any questions?
I think you can take a couple more minutes. A
couple more minutes.
We were so disciplined that we still have plenty of time
okay.
for questions.
All right. That did go fast. So now what we have done with the first $80,000 we've had at the state level is to provide that money to one of our campuses to help manage the processes. And we'll offer some small grants and do a variety of things to help building this consortium. But our main goal in year 3 is now to do 100 course reviews. And it's pretty challenging, but we think big in Ohio. So anyway, the other slides I have explain a little bit more of each of these years and what it is we've done and what we're doing. And basically, as we look back at what we've done, we've been trying to analyze again with some data and with some perceptions, would we have done this differently? And that was a good opportunity. And basically, I think we probably would have done it the same, other than coming to Quality Matters much sooner for help. They're great and wonderful. We probably would have tried to find some ambassadors in those first years that really spoke to the importance of this from the faculty and student learning side. And we might have spent a little more time pre-qualifying campuses to join the consortium. The idea that if you're ready to do Quality Matters work, you have these characteristics. And Quality Matters has designed those already. So we could have jumped with those. So I've listed on the last page a few people if you'd like to contact any of them. They each have taken on a role and could help you if you have any need for that in supporting the leadership to make these goals attained. So thank you. Thanks for the extra time.
And let me just put a plug in for the listserv that's through the Ohio Board of Regents or the Ohio Learning Network. It is a great resource. It's focused on if you're involved in Quality Matters. It's a very sharing group, and it's an active listserv. So there's a lot of practical information that's provided on that. Cable?
Just one more thing.
Sure.
So Cheryl's emphasis on the applying the QM rubric training, I think, is really important. The master reviewer training and the independent training take a lot of time. It's a big investment, and it's fabulous professional development. But not all the faculty at your institutions are going to be able to dedicate that much time. And so this applying the QM rubric training can be a half-day event or a full-day event, and if you can grab people for that much time and get them the 2-pager, huge win. And so for us, we strategically chose to train independent trainers and master reviewers for two different reasons at our colleges. The independent trainers, the reason we're training those folks is to do exactly what Cheryl said, to build up the number of folks in our system who can offer the applying the QM rubric training. And our goal was to have one of those people or more at every single college, because we think that there are maybe we can reach 80 or 90% of the faculty in a half day session when maybe we can only hit 5-10% of the faculty in the more intensive training. The other thing I forgot to mention is our master reviewers. QM has a great national, international network of reviewers who will review your courses, and it's this rigorous, very high-quality process of putting a course, an online course, through the review process against the QM rubric. And it's outstanding, and I highly recommend it, and we've done a lot of it. But it's expensive, right? And QM's not taking a lot of the money. It's going to pay the support of the people who are doing it around the world. But because it is expensive, it's – how much is it now, $750?
It's $900.
So it's $900 per course now, and that's a lot of money, especially as we all get our budgets cut. One of our strategies, which QM has been very supportive of, is to develop a critical mass of master reviewers and peer reviewers in our system in Washington. So that our colleges can review each other's courses.
Yes.
Now, so far, I think we've got 30 or so master reviewers. We'd like to double or triple that number and then start to do a barter trade system among the colleges so that we can start to review each other's courses. And then we think this thing's really going to take off.
Okay, great. Well, let's stop here, and I'd like to entertain your questions for any single panelist or about the process in general. Any questions?
Yeah, that workshop is actually offered by Quality Matters. And so as part of that, they have a review of the rubric and they learn about it, but they also have to have their own online course when they come into the training. And so part of the training is for them to look at their course. And if you do the face-to-face one, there's a lot of sharing among the people that are there. And they're actually building and creating a plan to improve their own course based on the rubric. So a little bit different than the learning, the applying the rubric training, which is the preparation for becoming a peer reviewer. It really gives them an opportunity to examine their own course. We did not require everyone to do the plan, you know, to write up a plan and check them. It really was just, we want to expose you to this so there's common language among all the online faculty about good online course design. And, you know, if you've been around Quality Matters, anybody who is exposed to it can't help but go back and change their course. And so we knew that by giving everyone this common experience and a little bit of time, it was just, you know, 6 hours, to look at their own course, they're going to think about it, they're going to go back and probably change some things in their course. Did that answer your question? Okay.
I'd like to add one thing to that. The power of people looking at their own courses is incredible, and I think that's one of the big payoffs of being involved with Quality Matters. And I think when people get a chance to look at others' courses in the same way and see what's happening there and think about their own course and determine what they can do to change is another huge and powerful opportunity in professional development. So.
And I will add one thing, that it really just takes a single course, faculty focusing on one single course, and then those gains will be, they'll be able to take that feedback and that information and modify all of their courses. So, and we do exit surveys from the different activities, and that's what the faculty tell us. They took this, whether they had a course reviewed, whether they reviewed somebody else's course, or whether they took the training. And they didn't just modify their one online course. They modified all their online courses, and some have modified their on-ground courses, too, just with the general principles. Other questions?
Can I make one comment?
Please.
Just a comment about, I think Cable was mentioning the cost of it. And he's correct. Really, most of the cost for it goes to compensating as a stipend the reviewers, because they spend a lot more time, I think, than the typical. I'm not sure what your stipend is for currently for?
It's you're not getting rich. It's $150 per reviewer and $350 for the master reviewer.
So when we were discussing this at our institution, we had a team of faculty members who were familiar with QM working to figure out how we were going to structure our subscriber managed reviews, and we actually decided to pay folks $200 a piece to do the reviews, and we are also paying a course developer stipend of $200, which is not part of the model, but they do a lot of work, so we wanted to recognize that. So at a cost of, you know, $900 or whatever, I was thinking about it as a per course. And when you do that, you're like, oh my gosh, it's $900 a course. But if you think about the team of four people with the three reviewers and the course developer, it's one of the best professional development experiences you can put someone through. And at a per person rate of $200, it's really not expensive. So for me, that shift in thinking about it, if you're a person who's doing budgets, try not to think about it as $900 a course, because I think there were some data that QM collected that the most longevity they have for people staying involved in QM, I think they found, is in people who serve as reviewers. So even if you can't afford to review all your courses, if you get some activity going, it's going to start to spread.
Yeah, the data that we collect says it's the best of all the activities, that being a reviewer is the best professional development activity. And we do encourage schools to manage their own process, and if they do, they're responsible for what they want to compensate their reviewers on cable. I don't know what you all do in Washington, but we are very happy to see that, because Quality Matters doesn't make, we don't cover our own cost with the course review. So we are trying to get our institutions to do as many of those as possible.
I'd like to add one thing, too, because this issue of the money just comes up all the time. And I think people understand the value of paying $900 for a course, but the impossibility of doing that on a campus or in a department. What I found and what we've done in some of the schools is try also to find ways not to actually pay stipends to people for that work, because they don't have the cash to do that, but to find other things. And some of the most successful campuses have done things like reduce course load if someone's been on a review, add information and documentation about the time and what's happened for tenure and promotion products and whatever, giving people premium course time opportunities or rooms in which they can use their technologies and courses and various things, and to try and support through showcasing people at Teaching and Learning Center fairs on campus or letters to the provost. They've asked us oftentimes to provide something back in certification to people to show these things and to prove that they've helped in a service load other campuses by doing this kind of review for someone else. So there's a wide variety that I know we've used, and money isn't always the way. Some people prefer other than money, which is shocking.
And it is a certification for faculty. When I see VITAs now, I see that on their VITAs. They're putting that they're a certified Quality Matters peer reviewer, because it's a national review. You can use it locally, but it's a national review.
Other questions?
A general question regarding Quality Matters and Quality Matters process itself, which, when you're addressing courses that focuses on continuous improvement, what are you doing? What's your overall plan for continuous improvement for the Quality Matters process itself?
I'm so glad you asked that question. The main focus, we are continually improving our there are two pieces. One is the rubric itself. It's not a static document. The rubric is reviewed and revised every 2 to 3 years, and that's the core, really, of Quality Matters. And it's an exhaustive process. We do the literature backs up the research literature backs up the standards, and so we go back to the research literature every time we do this review, and really looking for what's new, what are the advancements, what needs to be integrated in there, and then we have a process that takes about 8 months where we have a committee that we put together of very heavy active users who guide this whole review process, and then we open We do guided discussions and open the process to the whole community that uses it. And so we pull that in. And this year we're also convening a summit on interaction. The issue of interaction in online courses is contentious, and Quality Matters has a standard that relates to that. So we are convening, it's actually an international summit, so we've got some of the leading researchers in the field we're pulling together virtually, and they're going to, it's a discussion among the experts to look at the, you know, what does the literature really say, you know, about interaction, and what does it mean for the application to online courses. And so we're doing things like that to make that, to make the rubric. The rubric is a living document, and so that's a big part of our continual improvement. And the other is the other services and processes and technology-related tools that we're providing. So that's an ongoing effort. Other questions? No? Any last comments by the panelists?
I think that by working with Quality Matters, the staff and the organization has embodied the kind of continuous improvement behavior all the time. And I'm thinking often how powerful it is when people, we're telling some stories about Quality Matters, to say that no one ever fails a Quality Matters review. The philosophy behind it is, they have not yet met the standards. Mm-hmm. And the shift in that language and the power of the not yet met really provides that feeling of continuous improvement, and it is embodied and exemplified by the staff who do this, show it in the conferences, various things like this to help us understand. And they're wonderful, incredibly knowledgeable, consistently supportive set of people who are committed to this. Not as a profit motive, not as anything, mm-hmm. but as a really deep way of learning and improving learning for the students in this country.
And I will say, because the Quality Matters staff works virtually, we're online all the time. So we do. It's almost, it feels almost 24/7 sometimes. All right. Is that Gable?
Well, just my final comment would be, so I've been working in this field for, 10, 12 years, something like that. And there are few and far between either technologies or practices that come along that you look at them and it's so easy to work with, so easy to convince other people that they're valuable and that they should be adopted, and that when you look at the research behind them, you say, yes, this really is the best way to go for this particular technology or this particular professional development activity. This is one of those things. Where it's, if you look at the research and you dig into the foundations and you look at the philosophy behind it, you look at how it was created, it's very difficult to say this is a bad idea. And I found it incredibly easy to convince people to invest resources in it at a system level. It's very easy to stand in front of faculty associations and faculty leadership groups and unions and say, this is a faculty-driven process, and I'd like to expose you to it. Would you be interested in the conversation? The answer from them has always been yes. If you're looking for a big win in your system, not only to be more effective and have better courses designed, but to have good relationships between you and groups that you work with, especially faculty groups, this is it. You're not going to find anything much better than this.
Okay, I think our time is probably, we have a few minutes, so I wanted to thank all the presenters, and thank you all for attending.